The NC Department of Transportation is hosting a public meeting on its proposed plan to widen Aviation Parkway from NC-54/Chapel Hill Road in Morrisville to I-40 in Cary. The purpose of this project is to reduce congestion on Aviation Parkway, improving east-to-west mobility through Morrisville to I-40 and I-540. The meeting will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on May 12th at Morrisville Town Hall, 100 Town Hall Drive in Morrisville. For more information, visit ncdot.com and search Aviation Parkway.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back, and we have with us Jalice and Mark Middleton tonight, along with Pastor Joe, and they're with the American Patriot Relief Movement, and that is to bring some relief to the J6ers. And these were political prisoners. They were all political prisoners. This was absolute tyranny and treason that was committed. And those on that council, that special J6 committee, every one of them committed high treason, and they need to spend every day as long as the longest J6ers spend in those dirty jails. And so, anyhow, do you guys want to go ahead, Jalice and Mark, and tell the folks again how they can help you?
Yes, absolutely. If people would simply go to AmericanPatriotRelief.org and hit the donate button. We need monthly donors where we can rely on those donations. It doesn't even have to be a large amount, but we still have J6ers that are needing their rent or their electric covered. That, you know, it doesn't matter what career field they had. We've got attorneys, we've got doctors that are now working manual labor jobs trying to make even $20,000 a year. So they're still needing a little extra help to get their footing. We have a lot of J6ers, including me and my husband, living in an RV because our situation changed so drastically. So we definitely still need the people's help, and we would appreciate anything that people could do for us. We are also donors of the J6 Road Home. That's j6roadhome.com. And our friend, also a J6er, Jenny Cud McCombs, has some land out in Fredericksburg where she is putting tiny homes for J6ers. She is providing not only all of their, expenses for survival, but she is getting donations for cars, donations to build these tiny homes and also help get them jobs. She takes them to church, gets counseling for them. So it's the whole Somali to try to help them emotionally recover. PTSD has been the most severe thing we're seeing come out of the J6ers. We're all struggling quite a bit with relationships and coping. And if somebody would like to donate to that program, it is j6roadhome.com.
And Jalice, I was just thinking, you're talking, one of the big things was they can't get jobs. I just find that deplorable. Why? Two questions. One, why are companies so afraid to hire these people, especially since they've been pardoned and all the news out there? And the other thing is, I saw you guys, there was some kind of retreat where some of these people could go and get counseling, spiritual, emotional counseling. You were talking about the, I guess just if you would talk more about that, how the need there, because I see a lot of these people just seem to be suffering every way conceivable.
Yes, they absolutely are. And I say they like it doesn't include me and my husband. We're included in that. The reason I kind of keep us separated is we both are born-again believers. We felt the Holy Spirit used us in this. He's used us as a tool for His glory, and it has just been a beautiful walk for me and my husband. It doesn't mean we're not struggling. You know, we are living off of donors also. We do not take from any of the funds of American Patriot Relief. So if you want to donate to us, you have to go to a Gifts and Go under Mark and Jalice Middleton. And because that's the only way we're surviving is off of donations.
But oh,
wow. I can tell you, you know, the reason for all of this struggling comes down to weak men. It really does. I know it sounds so harsh, but just like that, we started the Bible study with, you know, coming back to the men not willing to be men. We cannot get jobs because the employers, even if they are in agreement, they know it was a setup and they know we're honorable people, that we're heroes, we're good people, we deserve jobs, we're just the person they're looking for. Then they look at these little weak-minded protesters that whine and complain, and they will start calling their phones all day and hitting their Google reviews, harassing them, and lying about the company just to force the company to fire that J6er. So even if it is a conservative company, they run into issues if they hire the January 6th, hero in my book.
Well, if a business out there wants to hire some of these people, can they get in touch with you, and can maybe you guys can help match companies that want to hire them with people that need a job?
Absolutely. We are keeping track of employers that are hiring J6ers and what state they're in, what city, county they're in, and we are matching them up with J6ers in that area with those skill sets when possible.
So which website should they go for that?
That's back to AmericanPatriotRelief.org, and contact us. That comes straight to me and my husband, along with a team that takes those and organizes them into the spreadsheet. So they don't need to panic if they don't hear from us. It means you either don't have a J6er in that area, or nobody's willing to relocate, or they don't have that skill set. We do.
Or they don't have the money or the ability to relocate, right?
We'll relocate them now.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah, we've got each other's back on that. We have been able, you know, as long as donors keep donating, you know, we will help relocate them and get them set up very best we can. It's not always pretty. Sometimes it's us literally driving them to another J6's house. But we will do whatever it takes. Because I'm going to tell you that really the heaviest support the J6ers have had has been from the other J6ers. You know, from our organization, from J6ers just willing to do whatever it takes because they know how hot the fire is.
Wow.
So yes, indeed. You know, we need our nation of men to stand up and be men. It's how this country was founded, and like I say, I think we're getting it back, but we have definitely went through a season of weak men, and that's, we need you guys.
Yeah, I guess it's another one of those shame on America. Nobody willing to stand up, speak out. I know I'll speak. Pastor Ernie has been sued, thrown in jail several times, lawsuits, paid a terrible price for speaking out and leading the Right to Life movement and many other things. So we totally understand what it's like to be under fire in this ministry, and been put in jail and things like that. So pastor's been beaten at by the police, so you're definitely in company that understand, and hopefully our listeners, especially those that have companies that are willing to do something, just I would just ask that all the business people out there get in touch with Mark or Jalise and see if we can help find some of these wonderful people a job, because some of them were just, you guys, what, just went there because you knew that we had a stolen election. And I watched the video. You two were sitting there holding each other in prayer, and the police reached across the barrier, leaned way out over, grabbed your scarf, and were trying to throttle you down with your scarf, weren't they?
Yes, they were. And I can tell you, you know, it was traumatic enough for me that for about the first year, I did not even remember them grabbing the scarf. When I got my discovery, my attorney called me and said, I'm looking at a new video. Did they grab your scarf? And I instantly got to where I could barely talk because I had forgotten it, and all of a sudden I felt traumatized all over again.
Again. Had you passed out? You looked like at one point like you might have been unconscious to me.
I was starting to go out. When they pepper sprayed me, I had fell back with the crowd pulling me away from them. And I don't remember all that. I remember stumbling, and that was the last thing I remembered. But yeah, they had me choked out for sure. I was scared for my life. I remember trying to scream my husband's name, and the word would not come out of my mouth.
And I was scared for my wife.
You know, yeah, well, I can imagine. After what I saw, I would have been too.
You know, had they gotten her over the barricade, what would have happened to her at that point? You know, we don't know.
If they kept pulling on the scarf like that, they'd have choked her to death, because that sure looked like what they were trying to do to me.
Well, and we know from Roseanne Boylan what would have happened. Lila Morris beat her to death. You know, maybe that would have been Jaleesa's fate as well.
I guess I'm just sometimes so ashamed of America. I'm going to throw something at you, another news story, because it reminds me of what's happened to you guys. Down in Florida, they had a big operation called Dragon Eye, and it was rescued 60 critically missing children. There were 20 agencies involved in this, and one of the people involved was their Attorney General, James Uthmeyer. He ran the statewide prosecution office, and they've been working on this. This country, there are still thousands and thousands of these missing children that were trafficked.
300,000, Joe. Joe, there's 300,000, Joe.
Yeah.
300,000 are missing.
Yep. It's the same political party that attacked you guys, threw you in jail, tried to make you look like criminals. They're the ones that brought in all these unaccompanied minors, sent them to anybody that claimed they wanted them, allowed this trafficking to take place. And I think some of these Democrats out of there, it just ought to be total shame what the inhumanity that has happened in this country, the shame that goes on this country for all these trafficked children.
Joe, the United States government,
one party's fault.
Joe, our federal government, the federal government was the world's largest sex trafficker for children. The United States government under
cartel, right?
Under Joe Biden,
it is.
The United States government is the world's largest sex trafficker. Alexandria Mayorkas was making tons of money there, and as he went to Panama to orchestrate all of this. This is why our so-called border czar, Kamala, she knew that sooner or later this was going to come out. And that's why the border czar wouldn't go to the border. She knew that sooner or later all of this was going to come out. The Democrats are up to their eyeballs. All of the Democrat elite are up to their eyeballs in pedophilia and child sex trafficking. And so, this Mayorkas, they need to find this guy. They need to run him down. Forget the pardon. Trump says, all of these so-called pardons that were signed, with that little writing box there, Trump says they're null and void.
I hope he follows through with that. I hope I'd like to see a whole bunch of people do the perp walk and go to jail. I think it's the only way we're going to clean up our society is when we have some real consequence for these deplorable behaviors.
I agree. And unfortunately, I think we're going to be playing patty cake with them. I hope not. But you know, because everybody's got dirt under their nail. They don't, you know, they don't want to be too hard on anybody else because they don't want to get exposed for their dirty deeds.
So. Yep.
Isn't that a shame? But I think you're right. But that is America's shame. We've spent so many years in corruption, tolerating corruption, tolerating sin. And like Pastor Ernie said, it went back to the pulpits, didn't want to preach it, didn't want to call people out for their sins. Oh, you can't call out sin on a public official or somebody important or somebody rich and famous. I don't see it anywhere in the Bible where God said, do not call out rich people or famous people. Don't, you know, point out their sin.
No, no, but Joe,
been lazy.
Yeah, Joe, Solomon said, money answereth all things.
Yeah.
And this whole thing, like with this Diddy trial that's happening, we told you right from the very beginning of that, when that prosecutor came out and said, we're going to be transparent. He's telling you right there that they're open for hush money, okay? And that's what that's all about. It's about hush money. You pay to play. It's the same thing with Jeffrey Epstein and all of those people that were involved in there. Remember, they were going to come out. They were going to bring it all out, but then
sure, it's never come out, has it?
No,
no, it never will.
No. Bits and pieces.
The American public is lazy and has short memories. And they will not hold their elected officials accountable for this stuff because everybody wants to think that their elected official, their state rep, their federal rep, whatever, are good guys. And nothing will ever get done. You know, every one of us grew up with our fathers and grandfathers telling us that the politicians are corrupt, and the federal judges are going to ruin this nation. Well, lo and behold, we all sat around twiddling our thumbs, thinking that our reps are the best, and here we are.
It's hard to fathom the level of evil, though.
Yes. It is.
Exactly. It is evil. That's the right word for it.
Well, you're living.
Lincoln had evil. Was it Lincoln that evil triumphs when good men do nothing?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, you're seeing that we're living that. You know, he tells you in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 and 4 about the seal of the book, where we're to the end times, we're watching the unsealing of the book. And you say, well, there's always been sin, you know, but not like it is today. When you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, everything that he is saying is happening today. And that hasn't been the case throughout the centuries, not the way it's happening today.
No, and it's not. Today it's totally overt, whereas it's been covert all this time, and it has not been to the level that it is now. And I was just sitting there talking with God the other day about this, is what has corrupted society so much? Because we look back, you know, me and Jalise were talking a few days ago about, you know, how innocent basically the 80s were for kids. You know, I mean, the 80s was, you know, there was a lot of corruption going on then too. But as a child, you know, we were teenagers in the 80s, but, you know, it was innocent for the most part. You didn't have kidnappings like you do now. You didn't have child pornography and all of that stuff. I mean, it was there, but you didn't see it. You didn't hear about it. You didn't know about it. But it's the internet. I'm, you know, it's just straight up. Today it's celebrated because it's so prolific, and it's so prolific because of the internet. You know, death and gore and the loss of value for human life and just everything, all the corruption, it has been, you know, multifold increase. And I personally believe it's all because of the internet.
Well, you got a good point there. But, you know, Mark, for Joe and I, we were born in the 40s, so we were definitely not teenagers in the 80s.
Yeah.
And so,
but I mean, y'all seen the same progression, though. You know,
No, you're right. We remember innocence. It was back, we still had prayer in school, the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
We had a rifle match. We could take guns to school because they were shooting after school hours.
Yeah.
It was a totally different world, trust me.
We were in the Leave It to Beaver world, and Father Knows Best, where television was clean.
It was clean. Kids played outside at night till, you know, in the summer till dark, and the parents just be back home by dark. And it was just a wonderful world. It's sure not like that today.
No,
it's gone. And, what has changed? Well, the primary change is internet.
Saw a drastic release of the enemy over the past 5 years. I mean, truly an unleashing of a war between good and evil. And I just want to go back to your statement on 2 Timothy 3, where, you know, I always talk about this when I'm able, where it lines out, you know, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. All of those things. Well, then I've got to remind the people, because this is where I see really good people that fell over the past 4 years through J6. And it is Revelation 21:8. Because now we're talking about the New Jerusalem, right? In 2 Timothy, we're talking about the last days. But now we're going to talk about the New Jerusalem. And the first thing, there's that whole list again in 21:8, but it says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. I want to remind your listeners that list right there is the only time you see the word coward in the Bible. So even though that list is seen throughout several times as a warning not to be this way, that you won't inherit the kingdom of heaven, what you find right here is that he did a quick change on it. The very first thing he put at the top of the list is the coward. If you think you're going to sit on your couch and let the J6ers, the pastors, all the other people fight the battle of righteousness, and then you prance right into heaven, I have a feeling you got another thing coming. You're going to have to give an account, because, the Lord expects that you embrace the fact that you've been washed in the blood, that you are covered and protected, you're called and equipped. And I think he expects us to stand up for righteousness' sake. And I believe there will be an accounting for not doing so. So I encourage the people to be the people that God called them to be. You feel a calling on your heart, regardless where it was at. Mine was for January 6th. I felt called to go that day. I didn't understand why. I wasn't a political person. I knew the election got stolen, but I really didn't know. I didn't know why I was getting called there. I knew it was going to be a dangerous mission. I saw darkness come over my eyes. I wrote my will out the night before I left. I had absolutely no doubt that I was called, and it was going to be dangerous. I expected to lose my life. I just never expected that the threat was police against me, my own government. I was expecting Antifa, you know, people just being stupid. So, but what I tell people, it doesn't matter the threat, because I was called and I was equipped for the calling. And we have to learn as a nation to start walking by faith. We have lost that art. We try to think with our head. We try to see with our eyes. And once you were born again, you were not called to do any of that anymore.
Amen. Hey, I'm going to cut in, guys. I have I got to leave in the middle of the night here to travel. I just want to thank you two for being guests and being out there doing what you're doing. And maybe Pastor can lead a prayer for you guys in the ministry. And I want to thank Pastor Ernie for allowing me to invite you guys on the show. And, Pastor, I'm going to leave you. I think they'll stay with you a while. They're pretty good guests. I'm glad we had them. So I just want to say good night and God bless to everybody, okay?
All right.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Be
God bless.
Safe.
Yeah, he has to get up. He has to leave out about 4 in the morning, I think, so. He's only going to get a few hours sleep before he has to take off. But anyhow, you know, I know what you're saying. You know, I would have been there actually on January 6th. We were all set to go. We had a van, and the guy that owned the van and his assistant driver, both of them ended up getting real sick just, you know, before we left, you know. And we had all prepared to, there was about a dozen of us was planning on going, but it was too late to make changes or to find other transportation. And probably the good thing that if I'd gone down there, I would have probably got arrested for sure, because, you know, they know me, believe it or not, you know. When I went to D.C. one time, we took 100 pastors down there for a pro-life to meet with the senators. And what happened was, when I entered it, as soon as I got into the Beltway, I got an anonymous phone call telling me not to go to Hillary Clinton's office, because that if I were to go there, there was two federal agents standing. They were going to arrest me. Now,
wow.
The reason for that was, you know, Hillary had called in on the radio program, and I had to bleep her like 5 times, and old Hillary did not like me. In fact, this radio program did more to expose the Clintons starting back in 1990. We exposed Amenia, Arkansas, the drug trade, the whole shooting match, and the fact that Hillary was an actual witch, and she was, you know, she actually headed up a witch covenant there in Orange County, California. Her actual witch name is Drusilla. And so we exposed all of that there. And here, so I got a call saying, don't go in there. So we went up there, and I stood back about 30 feet back, and I watched as the door opens, and sure enough, there was 2 suits standing there. So I sent 3 other pastors in there to go on in there. And as they went in, they asked all 3 of them, are you Pastor Sanders? Are you Pastor Sanders? Okay. And I have the feeling that, I don't know this for a fact, but I just have a gut feeling that the warning actually come from her office, that there was somebody in her office that actually tipped me off on purpose, okay? Because, see, the Hillary, she just thought all of her staff loved her as much as she loved herself, but they didn't, okay? In fact, a lot of the information that we got to expose her came from right within her own circle there. But anyhow.
Wow.
Yeah, so they had, you know, I was on a list, more than one, because of this radio program. Because we've exposed a lot of corruption. I mean, we've really exposed a lot of corruption. And I'm talking about, we've been doing this for a long time. Larry Nichols, do you know who Larry Nichols was?
No.
Have you heard of the Clinton Chronicles?
Yes.
Okay, well, he's the one that made the Clinton Chronicles. I was an advisor on that, where we exposed all the killings, Mena, Arkansas, the drug trade, all of that, the boys on the railroad tracks, and that we exposed that way back in the 90s. In fact, I had the mothers of the boys that were murdered on the radio program. And do you know who Kathy Ferguson was?
I do recognize that name, but I'm not sure why.
Okay, hang tight. I'll tell you right after this.
Welcome to God's world.
To God's world.
Won't you come on in?
Come.
miracles start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart.
Open up your heart.
Leave your fears behind.
Leave them all behind.
You'll be living there.
You'll be living there.
Until the end of time.
Till the end of time.
Knock, and his door will open. Seek, and you will find. Ask, and you'll be given eternal life, sublime. He'll be waiting there.
He'll be waiting there.
His arms open wide.
His arms open wide.
Waiting there for you.
Waiting there for you.
You are why he died.
Why he died.
He'll be waiting there.
He'll be waiting there.
His arms open wide.
His arms open wide.
Waiting there for you. It was for you and I that he was crucified.
And that was Esty Crispin, who's singing in glory now. And you're true, Pastor Ernie. And so... And welcome to God's Word. We're going back talking to Jalise and Mark Middleton. Kathy Ferguson, Jalise, was the former wife of Danny Ferguson, who was a state trooper, and he was one of Bill Clinton's bodyguards. And Bill Clinton offered him a big paying job in D.C. if he would convince Kathy to sleep with Bill, and Kathy wanted no part of Bill Clinton. She couldn't stand Bill Clinton, and Bill went after her a couple of times, tried to molest her a couple of times, didn't get away with it. Long story short, she calls in, and she had her and Paula and a number of the women that were victims of Clinton. We had the one lady, and I'm having a senior moment, that Clinton raped her when he bit her lip and held her. And I had her, I had all of these women individually on a radio program. But anyhow, they were going to have a press conference, and they were going to all come together and expose everything, the whole shooting match on Clinton. And what happened was, she calls in, and I had Larry Nichols, who, Larry Nichols was the, he was the guy behind the real strategist for the Clintons. He was their real strategist. They put Dickie Morris out front, for public consumption, but Larry was in the background. He was the actual strategist. I led him to the Lord. He changed, and he told Clinton, we can't do this anymore. We just can't keep doing what we're doing here. All the drug, the kids being killed, young girls dying for being overdosed there in the governor's mansion, just all kinds of horrible things that the Clintons were into. And so anyhow, she calls in, Kathy calls in on the air, and she tells him we're going to tell everything. We're going to expose it all. And I says, right now, since you've done this, since you've called in here coast to coast, Kathy, and you've made that statement, you better tell everything you know now. You got to get everything you know, get it out right now, because, Kathy, if you don't, you're not going to be around now, okay? If you don't get it out here now, they're going to make sure you don't get it out at all. And Larry Nichols told her, Kathy, you know what he's telling you is true. You better listen. You better do what he's telling you. And she said, we appreciate that, but we're prepared. We've been working. I said, no, you're not. You think you're. And, well, the next night, Kathy's found with a bullet hole in her head.
Oh, my gosh.
In her own apartment, yeah. And I begged her to get it out while she could. And then her fiancé, who was another cop, he swore he was going to find those, get to the end, those that killed her, and he was found on her grave with a bullet in his head. But anyhow, if I'd have gone down there, I would not have been able to cover all of what we've covered on the J6s, because we really got it out there on that corrupt, J6 committee. That, you know, those people, those are the ones that started this. This was all, you know, this was a false flag operation from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And the DOJ should be into this looking nonstop, not until they've hunted every one of them down. And,
I fully agree. And, you know, that J6 committee, why are they not, like, there's just so much there the American people may not put together. For instance, for me and my husband and all J6s, that production that they did, which they hired a producer for to do that production, that tainted our jury pool. I know people say, well, it wasn't a jury of your peers in D.C. Well, you're right, it wasn't. Even that was a setup. But there wasn't even a snowball's chance there, because everybody had the jaded viewpoint that the J6 committee fed them. You know, they didn't even feed them the truth. So higher possibility of a honest trial, because me and Mark took ours to trial. We decided we were not going to bow a knee to Satan. We felt like that's what we were doing, is making deals with the devil. And we decided that we would prefer carry our head held high and take it all the way to trial and go through whatever consequence had to happen. But we were not going to give in to that tyranny. You know, we had a juror on our jury that I am 100% convinced she knew the truth. I could see the pain in her eyes. I believe she was a Christian, and I believe it was just too hard for her to stand up for what was right, what was truthful and honest. And, you know, it all just speaks to the times we're in right now, that people are more worried about, you know, I just want to keep my job and get home after work and cook dinner and get the kids to bed. You know, they've forgotten what it means to be your brother's keeper.
Well, to a large degree, but, you know, I'll tell you what, though, you know, people realize when the Biden regime shows you just how corrupt they could possibly be.
Yeah.
And, you know, so now the Democrats, as I call them, they've taken some hits. They lost the House, they lost the Senate, they lost the White House, and they're a minority on the Supreme Court. Do you know what the popularity rating, approval rating of the Democratic Communist Party is right now? It's 14%. 14%.
Wow.
That's down there with the news media, okay? And so that shows you, right now, Trump has his highest ratings ever right now. People don't realize that because most of the media don't want to get that out there. But, yeah, he right now. And so there are people, but you're right. We've got to, this is no time to sit back, no time to rest. they should be relentlessly going after. This is not revenge. This is justice.
That's absolutely right. I've had a lot of my Christian community question me on calling for the death penalty for the treason. And, you know, that's what I point out is, listen, I'm not vengeful. The Lord had clearly spoken to me that I cannot lose as long as I don't become resentful, because, you know, then you hold grudges, you're unforgiving, and that's where you lose the game. But I have none of that. I really don't. But I want justice out of love for country, love for our people. And, you know, what's going to, you know, I play the scenario out a little bit. Like, what would happen if this nation become communist? Well, one of the things they're going to do is take away your freedom of religion. And when they do that, now your offspring for generations will not have a free capacity to know their Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, you are damning your family lineage to hell. I mean, it's so hard for them without freedom of religion to know their Savior. And I feel like that is a cause worth dying for. And you better believe if people need to die to uphold justice, to uphold freedom of religion, that is exactly what needs to happen. And I'm unapologetic for it.
Well, yeah. Well, not just that. You know, you have this mindset out there. For example, I've been in the pro-life movement from the very beginning. I was with Dr. Jack Wilkie in the very beginning when we made our mission statements, when he started Ohio Right to Life, then went to National Right to Life and then International Right to Life. And back in the early days in the pro-life movement there, I'm going to tell you, it got nasty. We were arrested at the hush money. Listen, I actually had some dirty cops put a contract on me out there. And by God's grace, the good guys, the clean cops, were there to have, and they had my back. In fact, I actually did some radio programs with them on there. But you had the corruption. It's just unbelievable. We're seeing here now as they're coming out, it's at the point where the Communist Party, the Democratic Party, they're split right now. The old guard is saying, look, you tried your DEI, you've tried your woke, all of this, it backfired on you. You got to step away from this lunacy, this idiocy. Remember, we're up against, you know, God is not the author of confusion. You know who is.
Right.
And here, we're up against people that don't know what a woman is. We're up against people that put Tampax in boys' bathrooms, okay? We're up against people that tell children that if they want to be, that they can be a puppy if they want to be, or they can be a kitten. And some of these would actually, in these public schools, allow them to go in a closet and sit in a cat's bed. I mean, you've got some crazy, the Bible says, God said he would send them strong delusion. And so he has really sent them strong delusion out there. You've got these women now that go out. They actually pay $2,000 to spend 10 days to go out in the woods and scream. They go out, they pay $10 or $2,000 to go for 10 days out in the woods, and they scream. So, again,
for what?
Well, they're angry. They're angry about Trump being.
I was going to say, I bet they're yelling Trump's name a lot.
yeah, but can you imagine this? You know, Kenny and I, we were going to let them come and scream for half that price.
Yeah, I've only got two trees in my yard, but they could stand right next to it and yell all they want.
Yeah,
give me $5,000, sure.
Yeah, you would go a lot less than, but I mean, these people, this is, like I said, the Bible says that God would send them strong delusion, and boy, I'm going to do, and that he would pick the delusion for them. What's it say in Psalm 2? Why do the heathen rage? Why do they imagine a vain thing? Okay, the Lord, again, will have them in delusion, and that's exactly what it is. These are the days that we're living in today. I did my prison ministry. We spent 45 years ministering up on death row. But I did a number of my prison, especially from both sides of the bars. I got arrested. I was arrested, I don't know how many times, for just preaching out in front of the abortion mills. And but we go to court, and let me tell you, I go right after them. I go, we've exposed a number of these corrupt judges. Some of those judges that tried to put me away, they're in prison today. God, you know, God is good. He's a just God and a merciful God. And so these are the days we're living in. We've had a saying in this ministry from day one: when in doubt, charge. When not in doubt, charge anyway. And so that's the way
I love that statement. While I was in jail, I didn't realize how much my life was based on fear. And for the first time in my life, I had such a clear guidance from the Lord that if I am feeling fear, run to it. Not from it, to it. Because there's a blessing waiting there that the enemy is trying to keep you from.
You know what? I'm out of time for tonight. I'm going to, Mark, would you like to give an invitation? Would you like to invite people out there tonight? How they can avoid that burning lake of fire, and how they can make it to glory?
Absolutely.
Okay. How much time do we have there, Ken?
We've got about 6.5 minutes.
You got 6 minutes.
You know, if you're one of them that's listening that does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who does not understand some of the things that we've been talking about, or how to put your full faith and confidence in the Lord that He will fight for you, all you need to do is stand firm. If you don't have that kind of confidence, if you've been on the fence, might be someone who's gone to church quite a bit, but you've always just never quite understood the power of the Holy Spirit in you and all of the promises that Jesus gave us in John 14, 15, and 16, where he's describing the Holy Spirit and what he's going to do for us and the power that he assigns to us and trusts us with. If you don't know that, if you don't know where you're going to go, if something happened tomorrow and you drew your last breath, I want to say that come to Christ. There's no formula. There's no special prayer. There's no, none of us are any more gifted at drawing someone or getting you across the salvation finish line than any of the others. It comes down to you. It comes down to you putting your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ and just crying out to him, to yourself or with someone else or whatever the case may be, wherever you're at, and saying, Lord Jesus, I want to know you that way. I want to know you so thoroughly and fully, Lord Jesus, that when I do draw my last breath, Lord, that I want that chasm that separates me from you to be so small that it's like stepping over a small crack in the street. If you want that, ask Christ for that, because he tells us that whatever you want, ask in my name and it will be given to you. If it's fear, ask Christ to take the fear away from you. It is beautiful on this side of knowing Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, anyone that is a true believer, that is truly put their full faith in Christ, will become a new creation, and life will be so much more beautiful, so much more full, so much more complete. There's just so many adjectives I could I could assign to it, and so could Pastor Ernie and anyone else who understands. Just give your life to Jesus Christ. Trust him and let him take over and guide you. Listen to him. Rather, sometimes he may speak audibly to you. He may speak just putting something on your heart, a word of knowledge or something, or he may speak to you through other people. Listen and open your mind to the Holy Spirit and open your heart to the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, you will not see more beautiful glory here on earth. Even with all the doom and destruction that we see today that we've been talking about with the J6ers. You know, the J6ers, the ones that have truly trusted Jesus, have went through this, have fared so well compared to those who just either know Christ or they talk about Christ or they don't know him at all. But those who have truly known Jesus and have truly trusted him, it is the only way to live, and it is so much more beautiful. So, you know, reach out to Pastor Ernie. If you want more counseling, if you want more understanding in Jesus, reach out to AmericanPatriotRelief.org. Send us a note to contact us, and we'll be happy to get with you. You can reach out to us on Twitter @APR_Foundation and hit us up if you want to know more about Jesus, know more about a saving grace, or just need someone to pray with you. Whatever the case may be, come to Christ, because the time is short, and I know we've Christians been saying that forever, but all glory to God, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, as John recorded in John 14:6. Other than that, Pastor Ernie, if you got something you want to add that...
For 50 years, we've been given this invitation, and sometimes people say, well, Pastor, you know, you've been saying for 50 years that, that the time to declare Christ is coming back soon. Well, you know what? God is merciful God, and we know, I'll tell you, exactly when he's going to come back, and that is when the very last person that's straight... that is going to get saved, that scheduled to be saved, when that very last person receives the Lord, that's when it's going to happen, okay?
And so, you know, that's a good point, because that fullness of the Gentiles, we don't know what that is, and we don't know when that is, but it's going to happen. And at that point, it's going to be too late for anyone else.
Right, and we know that in God's Word, the Bible, right here, we have over 1,800 prophecies, folks, and up to now, the vast majority of them have been fulfilled. Exactly when, exactly where, exactly how the Bible tells you. And there aren't many more to be done. So, anyhow, we're out of time for tonight. I want to thank both of you for being here with me tonight. And so until tomorrow, we want to say good night. So say good night.
Good night.
We want to say we want to say God bless to you all.
God bless.
And then we want to say, and always, please, always, 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 ready? Keep fighting the... we did it before Trump.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.